Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Marissa Levin. Welcome, Marissa. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
She's been on the show many times before, and today we're going to have a special discussion about a new book that she's written. But before we start, let me just give you another background and a reminder on Marissa's background. She founded Information Experts, which is a global strategic communications and education firm back in 1995, and launched it with no outside funding. 17 years later, Information Experts is forecasting $20 million in revenue for 2012, and she's led her firm through some very difficult times, including the explosion of the telecom and the internet, the 9/11 terrorist attacks, which shut down DC pretty much completely, two recessions, a government shutdown, the collapse of the auto finance and housing markets, two cancer scares, my God, and while raising two sons and a completely hands-on mom. So she's an amazing person. If you haven't heard her speak before, you've got to get out and hear her speak. And today, we're going to be talking about the new book that she's written, which is called Built to Scale: How Top Companies Create Breakthrough Growth with exceptional advisory boards. And what possessed you to write this book, Marissa?
Well, so I've had my firm, like you mentioned, almost 18 years, but the truth is everything that I've done by asking for help from others.
Right.
And you cannot grow as a person, you can't grow a business unless you reach out to those around you to create a community of support and excellence around you so that you can learn best practices and how to do things that you don't know how to do, how to avoid mistakes that you otherwise would make, how to recover from mistakes that you've already made, and just how to get from where you are now to where you want to be. You really need experts to be in your corner to help you navigate the path of growth. So a couple years ago, we had really kind of reached this point of stagnation where I just couldn't get past a certain plateau. I couldn't really get past $5 million.
Okay.
We were really spinning our wheels, and I was out to breakfast actually with a mentor, and he said to me, "Have you thought about building an advisory board?" And I said, "I didn't even really know what an advisory board was. You know, what is that? And, you know, where do I find advisors, and how do you do that? And what does that all mean?" And he kind of gave me kind of like a 50,000 foot overview of what an advisory board is. And it was that day that I really set upon the journey of deciding that if I wanted to take my business to the next level, I needed to learn from people who had already done it. I needed to learn from people who could help me overhaul my processes, my infrastructure, my business development capabilities, open up doors for me that I otherwise wouldn't be able to get into, meet people that I couldn't have met, and just have that level of expertise, because I was really learning as I was going along.
So you've given all the reasons, and there probably are more, of why having an advisory board is so important for a growing business. All of these things are really key factors. I mean, they help you build your infrastructure. They mm-hmm. help you do all the things that you need to do to grow your business. What are you seeing in terms of the trends that are occurring right now in small business that perpetuate the need for building an advisory board?
Well, the whole thing about, you know, being a small business, as we know, one of the greatest problems that or challenges that small businesses have is access to capital. And so we need to learn how to do more with less. And when you build an advisory board, some people think, well, I can't really build an advisory board because, first of all, I don't know where to find these people. But secondly, I don't know how to compensate them, or I don't have the money to compensate them.
Right.
So what I did with the book is when I went through my process to put in my advisory board, mm-hmm. I realized after I had presented to a large group of entrepreneurs that I really did follow a process because I'm very process oriented. So the process I came up with, the model that I came up with, stands for select, compensate, associate, how you like, you know, integrate them into your organization, leverage, how you leverage your advisors, and then how you evaluate, evolve, and exit them as your business grows, because a board is a very fluid process. You won't just do it once.
Which stands for scale.
And that scale, right. So that's where the idea of the scale model came in. So to talk about the trends that really make it essential for businesses that want to grow to have a board, one of the things, as I mentioned, is access to capital.
Right.
So I know as a small business owner, I can't go out and hire five VPs that I need. I can't hire a VP of sales and a VP, you know, of capture and a VP of operations. But yet I need all of that.
Right.
And so if you can create an advisory team around you where you're compensating them with equity, mm-hmm. and you are the one who educated us, and you're the subject matter expert in my book on the four different ways that a business owner can actually give equity. Or
another shameless plug for Wayne Zell.
But I mean, you're the person I trusted
Thank you.
You explained how you've helped other business owners create a performance-based system that you can provide small pieces of equity incrementally to advisors that will keep them emotionally invested, financially invested, and really willing and committed to helping you grow your business. I don't make a move without a lot of my advisors,
mm-hmm.
but there's no way I could afford to bring them in and pay them salaries.
Sure.
So that's just one way. That's one trend is the limited access to capital, but that shouldn't stop you from finding the people that you need.
Right.
Another trend is the fact that there's going to be a huge influx of M&A activity because as the government tightens its spending, there's going to be more roll-ups and more contractions of contracts. And in order to survive in that business, again, you need to surround yourself with the right people that can help you build an infrastructure. Because what I've learned as we've scaled our business is that when a business is acquired, and you can certainly correct me if I'm wrong, but just from what I've learned from you and from other experts and just from my own research, in order for a business to be an attractive acquisition candidate, that business cannot just be solely reliant on the business owner.
Absolutely.
And they need to be able to have infrastructure, process, long-term contract backlog. They need to have, solid people. When a business is acquired, all of those things are taken into play. And a business owner can't build all of that themselves.
Well, particularly in the government contracting sector, right, where services are being rendered. But if it's not a long-term backlog of long-term contracts, it would be products or mm-hmm. other valuable assets, including humans. Human resources are probably the most valuable asset that we have in our business today.
Right. And so that's another trend, is the whole M&A activity is going to be picking up and contracts are going to be harder and harder to get. And so you want to make sure you're building out an infrastructure that extends way beyond just the business owner, because
right.
the business owner is not the value in the company.
Right.
It's everything that surrounds the business owner.
It's business succession planning too, in case you don't sell. If
yeah.
there is not an M&A transaction, you still want to have a group there behind you in case something happens to you.
Right. And so that board behind you can not only provide that expertise, but they provide a gateway to other expertise. And I'll give you an example of what's happening at Information Expert. So, historically, we've been very content-centric, where we
right.
design and develop training materials, marketing materials, human capital programs. Well, we have a goldmine of technology and product at Information Experts that we've designed and developed for our clients. We've designed an unbelievable content management system that now some of our clients are actually licensing. And we have a product suite that we're launching
Brilliant.
In August. And the
So
trend,
what you did was you did all this content, you figured out ways how to deliver it faster, and then you created a process, a product of delivering the content, mm-hmm. creating the content so that others can use it.
Right. And we have the services, the training, the marketing, and the human capital that can wrap around it. A lot of companies who bring products to market, they don't have those services that wrap around it. They throw the product out there,
right.
and then you need training, and you need marketing, and you need change management. Well, guess what? We have all those services. So now
Absolutely.
We have the product suite. And we have the services, and we're going to market with these products, and companies are already licensing our products.
How did the board help you do this?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because I'm actually in the process of looking for a board member that is a productization expert. So I am right now recruiting a board member that can help me, really, who has the experience of product licensing, software licensing, that can make sure that I'm doing this right, because I don't want to leave a lot of revenue on the table, and
right.
I want to do this right. So one of the other trends that's happening in the government space right now, and I was just at a board meeting for one of my large contracts last night talking about this, is what we're going to see, not just as a buzzword, but as a mandate, is lowest cost technically acceptable, period. That is what is going to win contracts now.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Lowest cost technically acceptable. So again, going back to surrounding yourself with experts who can say, you need to reposition your company and your services and your products this way in order to make this happen. I mean, one of my board members is the ex-commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service, and I don't make a move without him.
Right.
He's a procurement god, okay? Obviously, if there's a shift now in procurement direction that everything is going to lowest cost technically acceptable, he's going to help me build my strategy on that. So these are just some of the ways that a board can help a company make sure that they're positioning for success.
Now, you did a lot of research for this book, and you interviewed more than 150 CEOs, and specifically for the book, interviewed 30 CEOs and included excerpts from the interviews in the book, and very valuable information. What were some of the biggest takeaways and the biggest surprises that you experienced in these interviews?
So I would say that the biggest takeaways surrounded the compensation section. That first of all, a lot of business owners, in their acts of desperation, knowing that they needed help when their businesses were just starting out, they gave away way too much equity. Because you know what? If you give away 25% of nothing, it's really not that much, right? If you're just starting out.
Right.
But if you give away 25% of $10 million or $15 million, that ends up being a lot
of
money.
That's a lot of money.
Right. And these board members, they're not even part-time employees. They're only giving you, you know, a certain number of hours, maybe a month. They're not, it's a very, very small amount of invested time that they're making. And you have taught me, you know, when you bring on a board member, you give a very small piece up front and it's performance-based, and then it grows incrementally.
You try to do it on a performance basis.
Yeah.
But you also don't have, you're not obligated to give a certain amount to somebody for them to come on board. You may give them a little bit to see how they do. And if they do a little bit better job, then you give them some more too. There's different ways of approaching it.
So the two things that really surprised me were fell on both ends of the spectrum. The one was that some people just gave away the farm with, you know, out of act of desperation and didn't even tie it to performance and just kind of came up with an arbitrary number. The other side was that people didn't give anything. Mm-hmm. And then they were wondering why their board members weren't very helpful. Well, you get what you pay for. And so if you're not giving away anything, and maybe, you know, the reason was they didn't know how to do it. Okay. Right. It was a lack of knowledge and understanding on the process, which is why the book is so essential. Mm-hmm. I mean, I met someone at a conference that I did a signing at, and she was telling me that she was meeting with an advisor, potential advisor, 3 days later, and she was going to give him 20% of her company. And I said, just buy my
book.
Buy my book for $20.
Let me ask you a question.
Buy it for the price of three Starbucks and read that chapter before you meet with them.
What are some of the biggest mistakes that they make, that the CEOs make?
So the first one, I mean, definitely is the compensation, but also when you do engage a board, there is no structure around it. There's no performance. They're not saying, this is what I'm expecting of you. People aren't given specific jobs. Mm-hmm. And when you build a board, and I talk about the 35 ways to leverage the board in the book, there's actually a list of 35 ways.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways in which you can use it. Like a board is a great recruitment and a retention tool. Okay. So my board doesn't just stop with me. The board is not there to improve Marissa. The board is there to improve the business,
right,
which makes life better for everybody.
If you want to improve Marissa, you go get a coach for that, right?
That's exactly right. And I do have a private coach, but this is about how do I build my business and improve my employees, help them reach their potential, help my company reach its potential. So my, like, for example, we have a new board member and he's amazing. Mm-hmm. And he worked for a very large systems integrator company,
mm-hmm.
and he did capture for, you know, $250 million, $500 million programs. He knows how to do win themes and strategies. So he basically is now mentoring my business development director.
Good.
I mean,
good.
That, you know, it isn't just about Marissa. It's about putting these people into my company. And that's one of the mistakes that a CEO makes, is that they bring on a board and it stops with them.
Right.
And they don't recognize that they have this goldmine of mentors and coaches that can be, you know, infiltrated throughout the company.
Absolutely.
Which becomes recruitment and retention.
Well, we've got about a minute left. Where can listeners buy the book
and
contact
you?
Yeah. How can they find out more about Built to Scale?
So I own a second company as well as Information Experts. I own Successful Culture, and the book is for sale at www.successfulculture.com. It's available in both Kindle format as well as a regular book, but successfulculture.com is exactly where they can get the book and opt into my blog on organizational culture and leadership. And they can reach me at Marissa at successfulculture.com or M. Levin, at informationexperts.com, and I'm all over Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter.
Man, you've got a lot to say, and we just need more time to talk about this book. It's called Built to Scale, How Top Companies Create Breakthrough Growth Through Exceptional Advisory Boards. Check it out on successfulculture.com. You could also probably buy it through Amazon, but it's better to buy it through successfulculture.com. Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Blueprint for Wealth, and join us next week for another special topic and special guest. Have a great week.